say, amen. God is good. Listen, today on this, as we enter into this Mission Sunday, you know, we set aside this day, this special day, each and every year in January. And of course, Steve and Carol, they're with us this morning from Mexico. Thank God for that. And Heather will be here in just a moment. But you know, for the last 20 years, our charity, our public Christian charity, Love Never Fails International, totally separate from the church. And you know, it's all about children. And of course, through Love Never Fails International, we have our global work in Mexico, the orphanage, and our local work, Halton Christian School. The psalmist has said in Psalm 115:1, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness." God is faithful. He has never let this church down, and he has never let you down. Not one moment in your life, loved one, even though you may think that. He is always the faithful, yes, the faithful God. And you know what he does? He calls those that maybe you, some people look at and say, well, they can't do anything. And he calls those that are not mighty and so forth, and he makes them mighty men and women for God. Amen? And you know what's wonderful? They are faithful to him, and they serve him. And this morning, you know, I want to say something about Halton Christian School. That's where we're going to begin this morning. I am personally thankful for Heather, of course, and Amy, all the servants, the teachers, everyone that labors there, and what an incredible job that you're doing. Someone said this, only the educated are free. Jesus put it another way. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Amen? I don't know if you caught the second service. You might have caught the front page of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram this morning and what Mayor Parker said. She, on the very front page, it says this, education affects everything in the city. And they were talking about the low test scores and how the kids can't read and they can't do math. Aren't you glad we don't have that kind of problem at Halton Christian School? Amen? That's right. No, we, man, God is just doing a wonderful, wonderful work. And our kids are learning, they're educated, and not only that, they're kind. They have character. Love lives in their hearts. So here's how we're going to start off this wonderful day. We're going to start off with a video, and let's look what God has done at Halton Christian School, and I'll quickly come back up and invite our principal, Heather Gonzalez. Let's roll the video. God is good. Amen. Aren't you just, doesn't that just do something for you? You know, I am so thankful, and I just want to say, look what God has done. Amen. And right now, let me welcome one of the most hardworking ladies I have ever met, our principal of Halton Christian School, Miss Heather Gonzalez.
Good morning. I'm so honored to share with you everything the Lord is doing in our fourth year here at Halton Christian School. As some of you may remember, in our first year, the Lord opened Halton Christian School's doors for 8 students. Today, we have 43 students. Look what God has done. It's humbling to be a part of God's good work, a work designed for us here before time began. At the beginning of every school year, the Lord has always given me a specific scripture, a word for my heart for the upcoming year. I've learned over the years that this is the word I will cling to as the new year unfolds. This school year, my word from the Lord came in a very special way. The school year had begun, but I hadn't received my word. As the first week passed and the second, my heart began to feel overwhelmed. Yet the Lord was working. On rare occasions, my middle daughter sneaks into my and my husband's room at night. But rather than snuggle up at the top of the pillows where we are, she crawls under the blankets at the foot of the bed to sleep. She did this 2 nights in a row. The second morning I asked her, "Why, when you come into our room at night, are you laying at the bottom of the bed by my feet?" And she answered, "Because, Mama, I love to be there. I feel safe at your feet." As I pondered this interaction on the drive into school, the Lord spoke to my heart. With excitement, I was led to 1 Corinthians 15, 57 through 58. "But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain." And then I realized my daughter laying at my feet that morning was no coincidence. My word for this school year became clear: we overcome when we are at his feet. And this year has proven the only way to fight the darkness that is so very present in this world, the evil, which is after the hearts and the minds of our children, is at the Lord's feet. Before this school year began, our Dean of Students, Amy Weller, and I began petitioning a bold request before the Lord. We prayed for spiritually qualified teachers. And today, I get to share what God has done. He delivered on spiritually qualified teachers. He sent teachers who love, seek, and serve him. Recently, during a staff meeting, I asked the teachers, "Why are you here?" Their response, a resounding, "The Lord called me." Every teacher has a story of how the Lord brought them to Halton Christian School. When asked, "What is the mission, the vision for us to achieve here?" In their words, to love children and point them to Christ. To help children, let the Lord shine through them. To build relationships with children. To fill any gaps in love. To encourage children to know and walk with God. To make true disciples of Christ. And it is this heart that compels our teachers to provide a Christ-centered education and shape a biblical worldview within the children entrusted to us. They have a heart of service and a passion to nurture the heart of every child spiritually, emotionally, behaviorally, and academically. They speak of Christ's love for each child and cultivate honorable character within them. They equip students to identify their smarts and begin seeking God's purpose for their lives. They create an atmosphere genuinely and evidently reflective of love never fails. Pastor Bill has charged us all with praying for our children. And may I share with you, our students are not exempt from the wounds of the world. The enemy is good at what he does, and he touts it. Just read the headlines in the news. But God is better at what he does, and he's doing a good work at Halton Christian School. what do the Haltom headlines read? 5-year-old prays for a new student on Monday. New student begins class on Wednesday. 6-year-old tells mother, I know the sound of Jesus' voice. It's like a burning bush in my heart. 7-year-old gifts 1.5-inch Bible to teacher. Teacher is surprised to find God's word inside. 8-year-old sets New Year's resolution not to be a winner, but to be a conqueror. Why? Because she knows that winning is fleeting. But to be a conqueror is to overcome hardship every day, to not quit, to walk towards the cross. 9-year-old ponders proposition of lead role in Christmas musical, says she must pray to see what the Lord says first. Amended 1 week later, 9-year-old believes the Lord is calling her to step out of her comfort zone, accepts lead role, and makes history at HCS by singing first Spanish solo. 10-year-old writes a just because note to her teacher that reads, you are the influence to my Christian life. Thank you so much. These are not just Haltom Christian School's headlines. These are the victories given only through our Lord Jesus Christ. And they're multiplied. Every victory influences not just the students and teachers, but the parents, grandparents, spouses of our teachers, and now you get to share in these victories as well. God is doing a good work here at HCS and has proven himself and his faithfulness over and over as evidenced by his victories. Therefore, my beloved brethren, we're now called to be steadfast and unmovable. I was taken aback when I looked up in Strong's Concordance the meaning of steadfast in 1 Corinthians 15:58. I expected steadfast to mean firm, not changing or yielding. In other words, steady, true, determined, persevering, resolute. But it didn't. From the Greek, it was translated as meaning to sit. To be unmovable, to be settled, begins with sitting at the feet of Jesus. And of course, I'm reminded of the story of Mary and Martha. Martha's busily focused on the work while Mary sits at the feet of Jesus. Both are serving in an important way, and we must remember to balance. As Christ reminded Martha, the labor is second to the relationship. 2023, revolution, a complete change of method. According to the scripture, we're to always be abounding in the work of the Lord. If you'd asked me 4 years ago what that looked like, I probably would have shown you my planner in all its different colors, detailing the busyness of curriculum, hiring, enrichments. However, a revolution means we must have a transformation or a change of method. What if, instead of moving back and forth, to and fro, trying to achieve victories, we now come to a place where we can rest at his feet and trust that if he's brought us this far, he's already filled out the planner. First confirmed item on the agenda, Haltom Christian School is expanding to 6th grade. While God owns the plans, those of you who have experienced ministry or work unto the Lord know that it starts in the head, moves to the heart, and manifests at the hands, which means there's still much work to be done. And our labor is not in vain in the Lord. So let's be available to do what God has called us to do. We know one thing for sure. He's called us to pray. And this is how we abound in the work of the Lord while sitting. Prayer is the work. Thank you for your prayers and support. Please continue to pray for the children and the teachers and staff at Haltom Christian School. We look forward to all the Lord has planned for us in this year of revolution.
Amen. You know, remember Mary and Martha, like Heather was mentioning, you know, Jesus said to Martha, well, your sister, you know, your Mary, she's chosen the good part that will never be taken away from her. Amen. What a choice we have to make when we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heather. Awesome job this year or last year, and I am excited. Yes, amen. Listen, the Bible tells us, it says in Titus 3:8, this is a faithful saying, or as Paul would say, forever trustworthy, that these things that I want you to stress constantly, and that those who have believed in God, do you believe in God? Amen. Those who have believed in God should be careful to do something. Be careful to maintain or make it a priority. Be careful to maintain good works. For these things, meaning good works, they are profitable and they are good to all people. Amen. The Bible says for us a command to be zealous on fire for God's good works. And you know what? When we look at Carmago, when we look at the orphanage, when we look what God has done, I don't know how this church could not just, we should show up in sombreros or something. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. Some don't know what that meant, right? No. So here's what we're going to do. Before I invite Steve and Carol Chavez, our missionary pastors up here, let's play a video and let's look what God has done. That's what your love and your care and your giving and your support has helped accomplish at the orphanage. Amen? Every child that you saw, you're giving them something they did not really have, and that's called a future. Amen? And a hope. I tell you, God, just look what He has done. Amen? You know, listen, I am so thankful. Steve and Carol, they're going to come up here. I'm so thankful. Our missionary pastors, and listen, they have done an incredible job, and they have made Carmargo, the orphanage there, they've made it, it's no longer an orphanage. They've made it a home. Amen? So let's welcome them, shall we?
Well, look what the Lord has done. Today, we would like to take some time to show you how the orphanage in Camargo has changed. And over time, through God's work and through the great work from you guys, as well as many mission teams, has made the home a true home for the kids. Good morning. It's good to be back and to see all our old friends and a lot of new faces. For those of you that don't know, my name is Steve, and this is my wife, Carol, and we're the mission directors for Calvary Chapel. First of all, the first thing I'd like to do is really thank you guys for all the gifts that you sent the kids through the mission, through the Angel Tree. I mean, those kids were very, very thankful. Just to tell a story, Pastor Luna puts out a list of all the kids in November to all the groups that want to bring gifts for the kids for Christmas. Well, we had a group of 7 kids come in December, so they didn't make the list. So a lot of the groups that came and brought gifts for the kids, when they would call out all the names, their names were left out. But when our group came, since we have inside information and we know all the kids, we made sure their names were on the list. And when their names were called, their faces just lit right up. So we thank you very much for all that you've done and all that you did for the kids. We also thank you for having our kids on the prayer list, Pastor Bill's kids list. It's just really, really good to know that you guys are praying for them on a daily basis. So just to give a little bit of history, there was a group of us that went down in 2015 for the first time to the orphanage. At that time, there was 25 kids, and we found that the orphanage needed a lot of help.
So back in 2015, when we first went, the orphanage basically had no support because of the violence and cartel activity that was going on. The orphanage had been without support for 3 to 4 years before we came, so you can imagine how run down the place was when we first saw it. Our first observation was the children only had a bed. They didn't have any dressers, any mirrors, nothing on the walls. They had just their bed, and so that was their only possession. They had a small closet space to keep a few personal pieces of their clothing. Most of the cabinets had hanging doors or no doors at all. The walls were dirty, and there was a great need for new paint. They had no playground. There was a concrete slab that they played there with a few toys. But basically, that's all the kids had. We remember their laundry room. They had 2 washers and 1 dryer. Old ones, and they didn't even have a table to fold their clothes on it, because I can remember as we were first touring, they were folding clothes on the floor. So they didn't have much at all. The place was run down. Plumbing was a constant problem. Sewage smell was obvious as you walked past certain areas. The building walls were rotted around the outside on the bottom edges, where rodents and pests could enter into the buildings. They were overgrown with weeds, grass, and shrubs were just overgrown. So as you can see, without support, they were just getting by with the basics and were in definite need of financial support.
So, Pastor Luna tells a story of right before we got there, they were on the verge of closing down the orphanage because of lack of support. He says that he felt that they were like in an ICU unit on life support, on oxygen, and their oxygen tank was empty. So in Christmas of 2015, Calvary Chapel began sending mission teams to Casa Hogar in Camargo. And so the work began. Calvary Chapel teams began visiting regularly, 2-3 times a year, and then it grew to 3-4 times a year, and sometimes even more than that. As the teams completed many projects that you saw on the videos and the pictures, we started to improve the situation at the orphanage, fixing plumbing leaks, repairing walls, scraping walls and removing old paint, then painting them again, repairing broken doors, replacing old rusted faucets and toilets, and replacing shower doors, adding washers and dryers, fixing leaky ceilings, repairing roofs and shingles, adding ceiling fans, cleaning up the yard, building a chicken coop, planting fruit trees, making a garden, a new porch was added, and a truck was donated because they had no means of hauling their trash to the dump. Many supplies were sent, filling their pantries with canned goods, bags of rice, bags of beans, just a lot of food. They also received laundry soap, toiletries, new linens for the children's beds, new clothing and shoes for the children.
So, looking back, we were looking through some of our notes and we found a clipping from an old LNFI newsletter. And this is what it said. Casa Hogar was so graciously given new bed covers and bed sheets to help the 25 orphan children living there. They were so grateful for the new linen and comforters because their, They were so grateful for the new linen and comforters placed on their beds. New brilliant colors filled their rooms. The directors of the orphanage mentioned that the bed linen was a heaven sent because until then, they only had one sheet per bed to use and therefore had to plan at just the right time when the sheets were removed for washing. One thing the team noticed that was missing on the children's beds were pillows. And through the generosity of one of the team members, they were able to go that evening and purchase new pillows for each child, which was placed on their beds first thing that next morning.
So, now the Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. Pastor Luna says that once we started helping out at the orphanage, he felt that they were let out of the ICU unit, off a life support system, their tanks were filled to the brim with oxygen, and they could now breathe on their own. There has been many trips since then, and the work still continues. We're learning that a facility of that size needed to have constant maintenance to make the home for these precious children. So in 2019, Carol and I spent 1 month working at the orphanage. Again, as the teams were doing, we found ourselves painting, cleaning, repairing, and replacing one broken thing after another. We quickly learned that with 25 kids, things tend to break. And things had to be maintained on a regular basis. So, in 2020, the Lord moved in our hearts to move close to the orphanage so that we could help maintain this place called a home, a safe place for these children. COVID did delay us a year, but in 2021, we made the move. It's been a year and a half now. Spending time there and being able to see it on a daily basis has been eye-opening. Today, plumbing problems are gone. And because through the Lord and through you as a church, you have provided new plumbing lines. Today, the living space is safe, clean, and because you have helped provide new roofs, new walls, new water pumps, new paint, new safe walkways, new concrete patio, more washers and more dryers, new toilets and new faucets. Much of your donated items, such as refrigerators, furniture, tables, cribs, mattresses, and the list goes on and on, has made this place a better place for the children to live.
And that's not all. That's not the only part. What the Lord has done, He's made a home for these children. They now have a swing set for the kids to play on. They have bicycles. They have a library, a schoolroom, a sewing room, activity room for children to grow physically, mentally, and spiritually. What started with a little wagon of books, I used to pull a little wagon into their room to have books for them to read, is now a library for them. What started so small is now an abundance of resources for these kids. A teacher was hired to help the kids to learn to read. We had a few kids that are 12 and 10 years old, and they don't know how to read. They've never been to school. We hired an English teacher, and she's so it's not they're not only learning their language, but they're learning English too. So we have a few videos to show you.
So that's some of the things the kids are learning. Also last fall, some of the kids left for college in Reynosa. The kids have been helped because of you and all the things that you have given to support them through garage sales to help raise money for their expenses. Furniture was donated to help furnish their little apartment, and one of the girls just shared with us her report card. So this girl right here is one of the girls that went. Her name is Monse, and she is studying forensics. And this is her report card. You can see that Introduction to Science Thought, 8. They do a number system there instead of a letters, but 8. English, 8. Math, 8. Introduction to Criminology, 8. Study of Law, 9. Criminal Anthropology, 10. Criminal Psychology, 10. Criminal Sociology, 10. So she is doing excellent in her classes so far. This is Alex, and he is a medical student, and he is studying to become a doctor. And this is Jessica, and she is studying cosmetology, and she will be graduating in about 6 months. She is doing really good, too. So there's been many improvements made in just making this place a better home for the children. But not only that, the children love when the teams come down to visit. And this is when they really see the love of Christ. Someone spends time with them. They're hugged, they're played with, they laugh with each other. Some of the Bible lessons that we focused on around what we're doing around in the orphanage through the teams that come down. For example, when we made our garden, our theme was Galatians 6:7, for whatever a man sows, this he also reaps. We spent a year focused on this theme, and they memorized many verses, did many crafts, and played many games around that. Not one moment was wasted. To hear and see the gospel in action, that's what's important. We had a couple of the kids that left. They left, but one of the kids got to come back, And he's been back probably for a month. And we got to sit him down and share things that he's been through and what he thought that was different at the orphanage. And he was saying how people have grown and gotten taller, and there's been so many changes around the orphanage, and things are getting better. And then he said, except for Theo Steve, he said, he still looks just as bad. So it's so I'm just grateful that I don't change that much, that's all. We also had another kid that left 2 years ago and has been out in the workforce. And he has two sisters that still live there, so he goes back to visit them every once in a while. We asked him how life has been for him, and he says he's been involved in a church and been going to Bible studies and stuff. And we asked him, well, what do you think was the influence for that? And he says, you know, it was the teams when they come down and share different things with us. That's what really got me started, he said. So those teams that go down are extremely important. But we can say that the very best part of this is that the children are really happy. They have smiles, and you can see in the videos and the photos how their smiles and laughters are just good. All this to say, look what the Lord has done. He is changing lives. The Lord is giving them a hope. He's giving them a future. And he's showing his love and his care for them. And it's because of what you have done to support these kids. We don't want to leave this out. This is very important. Pastor Luna and his wife Teresa are the ones that have opened their hearts to make this place for these children. They've been doing this for 19 years. They've given them care, protection, provision, and no one loves them more than this couple. Pastor Luna pastors a church in the stateside, but he still gives his time and his energy to help these kids. There are many things that he deals with that we have no idea. Legal situations that need to be taken care of, dealing with a DIF, families that don't cooperate, getting calls in the middle of the night. It's more than a full-time job. We could never have done this work without you, the Lord's work. It's what he's doing through us and through you. And without your help, we could have never done it. You, Calvary Chapel, have given us the liberty to serve in such a great way. You have provided so much to make a home for these children. And Carol and I thank you for your support. It's God's work, not anything we've done. And I would still love to say that getting the opportunity to go, well, first of all, I'd like to say that with listening to Pastor Thomas's studies on Wednesday in the Song of Solomon, and just how we should have our wives as our best friends, and just to say that it is a huge privilege to be able to go to work with my best friend every day.
You know, whenever you see all those kids rush Steve and hug him, that's the way you feel when you're around him. Amen? You just want to just hug Steve and Carol and so forth. You know, God is so good. You know, I was reading a scripture, a passage from the Psalms about the return of Judah from Babylonian captivity, and how they've been 70 years away from Jerusalem. And the Bible says, the psalmist has written, it says, oh, when we came home, it was like a dream. It wasn't real. It says, oh, we were filled with singing. We were filled with laughter. We were filled literally with life. And they cried out and they said, oh, the Lord has done great things for us. And may I say, that's what's happening with these children, all of them. They are in their hearts, in their own special, unique way. They are saying, oh, look at what the Lord is doing for us. And the reason they are is because of all that you have done. You know, listen, you know that this church, 31 years nearly, you know, this is not my work. This is God's good work. Amen? Yes. And not only that, Haltom Christian School, that's not Heather's work. Yes, she labors in what God has done, but it's God's good work. And the work in Mexico, it's not, well, it's God's good work. And guess what? Whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, you are God's good work. Amen? The Bible says that we can be confident of this, Paul writes. And he says, being confident of this, that he, meaning God, who began a good work in you, will complete it until the very day of Christ. Listen, God cannot lie. Loved one, listen, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:10 that we are his workmanship. We're his poema. We're his poem. We're God's masterpiece. The church is the masterpiece of God. And we are created, it says, in Christ Jesus for what? For good works. And when did God prepare those good works? Before the foundation of the earth. And what should we do with those good works? That we should walk in them. Meaning that we are not the ones that prepare good works. God has prepared the good works for this church that we are walking in right now before time began. What an honor and a delight to be able to say, I'm working in the good work that God created for us in Christ Jesus before this world was ever, ever formed. Amen. I rejoice for Steve and Carol. They are a dynamic couple because God has filled them with his power and his grace. And they're the mother and father of those children down there, believe me. The place is not an orphanage, the place is a home, amen? And I thank God for the mission team and Paul Koo, all that you do and the hard work that you put into all of this. And I thank the Lord, you know, for Heather and Amy and all the Haltom Christian School staff. But more than anything, I thank God for each and every one of you because you're faithful. You're faithful in your support to see that these works, our global work, our local work are carried on. And your giving has literally become an example to people. You know, we don't beg for money at Calvary Chapel. Have you ever noticed that? Mario, get up here and beg right now. No. We don't do that. See, it's because some of you are, what are you, snapping your wallet shut? What's going on here? No, we don't beg for money at this place. I don't ask you guys for anything. But I tell you one thing I do. I am a voice. And I'm a voice for the children. And I will remain a voice for the children until I'm no longer a voice. Oh, it's important. Listen, your support, your giving, think about this. Put your children in their place. Listen, you're giving them hope. You're giving them a life. You're giving them a home, a future, warm blankets, a full stomach. But more than anything, you're giving them a couple that care, that labor. I have to beg them to take breaks because they labor constantly for these children. Listen, and not only that, your continued prayers one day, whatever God wants to do in 2023, Aaron's may be the new home of the school. We don't know, but we're letting God be God. Amen? And so today, Love Never Fails Sunday, you know what it's all about. Listen, you know that we can feed the children, we can feed people, clothe people, and those are good things to do. And you know, but LNFI, our public charity, Christian charity, it's more, we're more concerned, yes, with material poverty, but more with spiritual poverty. So you can feed a person, but that means that they're going to be saved. Boy, but when we are operating in God's good work like we are, it opens doors for all of our children, whether it's the school or Mexico, to hear about Jesus Christ. Amen? To be around godly influence and so forth. You know, you've heard it probably so many times that you don't want to hear it anymore, but over 20 years ago, there in the upper room where the media booth is, that used to be my office. And that was that evening, and it was a Wednesday, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, already had the evening sermon prepared. And I was up there, and I was impressed by the Spirit of God. open up your concordance. That was, you don't have, you know, the computer. I wasn't a computer person. Open up the concordance and go through and look up every word on poor, the word poor, or poverty. And I did. And as I went through, I stopped at Proverbs 19:17. I mean, I'm telling you, it was almost like my office became illuminated. And when I read that scripture, I knew that God wanted me not to teach that message tonight that I'd already prepared, but without one note, I came down and preached Proverbs 19:17, which became the foundational scripture for the public Christian charity called Love Never Fails International, from which we do our global work and our local work through. And that scripture reads this way: He, whoever you are, he who hath pity. That word pity doesn't mean to feel sorry. It means to give a hand up in life, not a hand out. Amen? He who hath pity on the what? The poor. God from heaven, who cannot lie. He says, he who hath pity upon the poor, guess what you do when you help them? It says, you lend unto God. And here comes the promise of God, the God who cannot lie. He said this, and I will pay back what has been given. That scripture for over 20 years has sustained and provided for Love Never Fails International. And that's what provides for the orphanage. That's what provides for the school. Is that foundational scripture? God has never let us down. Never one time. Even when we feel like, what are we going to do next? God has always come through. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe the scripture I just read to you? Do you believe that God cannot lie? Do you believe the promise of God? He says, I need a loan. I want you to give me a loan, not for myself, but for my children. For those that are poor, he says, I'm going to pay you back. But don't you try to define how I'm going to pay you back, because I'll pay you back better than you think. Amen? We're not a people who sows sparingly. Because if you do, you don't reap bountifully if you sow sparingly, loved one. You know, the Bible is very clear. You know, and wait a minute. I know some of you are saying, Bill, you're getting ready to beg for money. I'm not going to beg you for money. We've got the doors locked. But I am going to be the voice for the kiddos, for the school, for the orphanage. And I'm going to ask you to do something. Now, this is Love Never Fails Sunday. I'm going to ask you today and the rest of this year, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to lay up treasure in heaven. Treasure in heaven. In other words, to invest in what lasts. You remember when the rich young ruler came unto Jesus? And he said, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you know, obey the commandments. And he lists the commandments. And the rich young ruler said, oh, Lord, I've kept all these from my youth up. The Bible says Jesus looked at him and loved him. He didn't slap him. He should have. But he loved him. And Jesus said unto him, you know what? There's only one thing that you lack. Just one thing. I like to do it in the King James. Thou lackest one thing. Go and sell all that you have. Go sell all of it. You see, because he was very rich. And he says, and give it to the poor. And here comes the promise. If you'll do that, you will have treasure in heaven. Now, and take up your cross and follow me. What a great word from our Savior. Do you know that God loves a cheerful giver? He'll receive from a grump too, but he loves a cheerful giver. You know what I'm saying? But God has never let us down. Now listen, 100% of what you give for the school or the orphanage, 100%, nothing goes to Calvary Chapel, not one penny. It goes 100% goes to Mexico for the needs of Mexico. When the mission team goes on a trip, none of it comes out of the Mexico account. It comes out of the Calvary account. Are y'all with me? So 100% of you giving goes to one thing, whether it's a school or the church. I mean, the charity. Now, with all that being said, do you see that as a gain or do you see it as a loss? You see, the Bible says in Proverbs 28:27, he who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses. You know, as the ushers are going to come forth, they're going to take up an offering. I pray that you give. And I pray that when you look at this, you see this right here, you say, oh, that's my money. Well, so what? God gave it to you. Come on. Amen. But I don't see it that way. I see clothes. I see food. I see a doctor's visit. I see a dentist. I see a warm bed. I see a hot shower. I see Steve and Carol who care and who are there, and we're sending them there. Amen? I know that's what I see. Jesus said this. He says, give. And if you give, you'll never have another thing in your life. No, that's the Baptist version. It's a joke. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Give what? Of your finances, whatever it might be. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, running over into your bosom. For with the measure that you measure out, it will be what? Measured back to you. That's from the words of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who cannot lie. Man, listen, we are in revolution. 2023 is not a year to this church. 2023 is our Jordan, and we are passing into this year. We are going where we have never been before. Amen. And we are in that revolution. And Jesus told us, he said, and the kingdom of heaven suffers violence even unto now. But the violent take it by force. Meaning we seize the kingdom of God and walk in it. Why? Because it's our precious possession. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Amen? We belong to an unshakable kingdom. And whether you believe it or not, we are indeed an unshakable people. I believe that with all my heart. And let me say this as we close. Why don't we do something right now? Why don't we just simply thank the Lord for allowing us to participate and giving us the privilege of participating in His good work that He prepared before time began for a place called Calvary Chapel. Amen. And we thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. Let's stand to our feet this morning. We're going to close with a song, I hope. And again, thank you for your prayers for me. You don't know that they sustain me unbelievably so. And we're going to close with a song. And listen, after the song is over, if you need prayer, please, there'll be people down here to pray with you about anything. I am so thankful for you, thankful for your support. And I am thankful. It's so good to see Steve and Carol here. Amen. 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 It is. Let's sing to the Lord. God is so good. With all your heart, come on. God is so good. Yes, you are, Lord. God. He's so good to me, and I love Him so. Yes, we do, Lord. We love you. I love Him so. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
I love Him so.
He's so good to me. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God is good.